church sometimes. Wake some people up around you. If you do have your Bible, I invite you to open with me to the second book in the New Testament, Mark, continuing our journey through the book of Mark. And I'll give you guys a little bit of heads up of what's coming up. We will continue through this book for the rest of the month of November, and then we're going to take a break because Advent is coming. I don't know if you guys knew that, but Christmas time is coming, and Advent is the coming of Christ. So we're going to celebrate throughout the month of December doing the Advent wreath and candles. So some of you will be asked to be a part of that if you feel comfortable. And we'll celebrate together as a family, and then inviting people come into our fellowship and join us. And then also we're going to have a very special Christmas Eve service on, of course, Christmas Eve. So hopefully you all will be able to be a part of that. We'll even have some candles and things like that. Try not to burn down the church or anything, but we will have that coming up in December. And also in December, we have some really cool opportunities to come together during the Sunday school hour. We're going to be downstairs sharing hopefully some donuts and stuff like that together, and also talking about where we're going from here, as in what's happening in the future for this church. Things I think the Lord has laid upon my heart. Hopefully you all will come and be a part of that. But I'll give you more details on that in the weeks to come. But for this morning, we're going to start here in Mark chapter 4, continue in Mark chapter 4, all the way from verses 21 through 34. So Jesus is continuing his teaching ministry in speaking in parables. Again, he continues this morning. So let me read from God's word for us this morning, starting here in verse 21. This is what God says. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything in secret to come to the light. If anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises and day and night, and the seed sprouts and it grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it to the sickle, and it becomes, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of the mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all seeds. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your word. Father, thank you for sharing it with us this morning. God, we pray that you would come now, Holy Spirit, and be with us. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, Father, to understand what you have for us. And God, we would take seriously the word that you have given us, Father, and that we would see, Lord, how it changes our lives. And Lord, that we are not the same people after we have come in contact with your word. Father, that we have a deep love for your word. And I pray that would be true for my heart and every person that hears this message this morning, God. Let us hear from you, Father. In your name I ask these things. Amen. There are many things in our lives that change up how we live. We can all probably give circumstances for that happening in our lives. I know for Julie and I, it's probably been having kids, right? We don't live the same way we used to live now that we have two little kids in our house. We don't sleep near as much either as we did before that either. But there's many circumstances in our lives that do this. It could be a change in job. Could be a retirement, it could be a diagnosis even from the doctor. There's things that change up how we live. And I think that's true with when we come in contact with Jesus as well. Our lives don't remain the same as they did before we interacted with him in his word, but we're supposed to be changed from that and even changed in how we live, so the actions of our daily lives. And I think in this passage this morning, Jesus is telling us the truth that once we come in contact with the word of God, we don't leave the same person. If that truly has hold on our lives, and he's continuing on this morning from where he was last week, speaking about the parable of the sower. And I thought, Charles, that was just such a beautiful prayer that he prayed for the offering that goes through this again, that shows us that we need to be people of fertile soil, fertile hearts, that the word of God can implant in our hearts in order that we might go out and live like Christ has called us to live. So Jesus here is speaking this morning to that fertile heart that we should not take advantage of this word that has been given to us, the word of Jesus Christ, but that we should go out and sow the seeds there from the word of God. So in verses 21 through 25, we're going to look at the truth, that Jesus is the truth, and then the parable of the seed and also of the mustard seed, all the way down to verse 34, we're going to focus on the life that he has given us to live, that we would not just remain the same people, but that we would be changed by the word of God. So let's just walk through this as we have done and explain some of these parables, and then we'll apply it to our hearts as well. So let's begin down here in verse 21 and notice the word of truth, right? The word of truth that God gives us. So he using an example here, again, a parable, right? Is teaching a truth. That's what Jesus is using here. He's teaching a truth. So he says, and it's very common to us, especially if you were raised in church, you sang a little song about a light and letting it shine, right? Anybody sing that? Did they stick up their finger too? We should have sang that this morning, Gordon. Everybody had their finger up. That would have been funny. Never too late. We might break into song. No, I'm not going to lead the singing. Okay. So the light is brought, right? The light is given to us, but it is not hidden, right? It is not put under a basket, right? And this is almost like a of course statement that Jesus is making. Well, of course, right? You don't, especially back then, all that they had was this little oil lamp, and you would light it, and it would bring light to a room. Well, of course, you're not going to put this oil lamp under a basket, right? It would burn the house down. Or put it under a piece of bedding, it would, of course, not work like it's supposed to, right? It would not shine like it is supposed to. We are to put it on a stand, right, for all to see. And of course, Jesus there, you can probably make the connection that once you have the word inside of your life, it is not something that you just sit on, right? It's not just something that you hide. It's so that others around you will see that you have been changed by the word and by Jesus Christ himself. This reminds me of the first passage in John, right? Where Jesus comes into the world and he is the light in the world, right? That's what he tells us. And in John 1, verses 4 and 5, this is what he says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." So if you know Jesus Christ, you have the light, right? He is the light. You have him inside of you, uniting, right? Uniting your soul with his in order that his light might shine through you. So that's not something to be hidden, right? In fact, I don't think it can be hidden. If you are truly a follower of Christ, this is the light that's going to shine out from you. And that's what exactly the light does here in verse 22. Notice what light does. It shines in the darkness, doesn't it? "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest or be made known." What does the light do? It shines so you can see. It exposes what is in darkness. And that's exactly why Jesus came to save us, right? He exposes the darkness of our own hearts in order that we might see it clearly and repent of it. And that's what he uses the word for, right? We know what sin is because the word clearly explains that to us. So he has not come to hide things, right? What do we like to do? We like to hide things in darkness, don't we? Yeah, we do. And we do this, we can put a good face on the outside and be good, clean, and upright, moral people on the outside, but in our hearts we could be very dark. But the light of Christ goes beyond the outside, it goes internally, doesn't it? And it exposes what is in the darkness of our hearts. Again, here in verse 23, he says, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, not talking about physical ears, right? Of course, people have physical ears. But the attention to understand and apply what Jesus is saying here. He says, pay attention and hear, because the measure that you use it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. So what is he saying there? He's simply saying that the gift that you have been given in the Word of God in Jesus Christ, use it. Don't just let it sit there, because if you use it, more will be given to you. So there's blessing in this, isn't there? If we apply it and use these things in our hearts and in our lives, what will happen? More will be given to you, right? But there is greater responsibility with the knowledge that we have. And I think too often as Christians in America, we know these words, we know these stories, but we just tend to sit on the truth, don't we? And we're not exposing this light in our lives with those who do not know Jesus. So it will be measured unto you. And I think one day we will actually have to answer to that knowledge that has been given to us. Especially as we have so many copies in our homes, right? I bet there's hundreds of Bibles, if we compiled them all, that we have in our collections, right? We have hundreds of Bibles, don't we? We do, but what do? We just kind of just sit on it. We know the stories, but God is telling us here that this measure that has been given to us, the word of truth that has been given to us, we need to act with it. Because, notice here, verse 25, for the one who has, more will be given. So, do you want to receive a blessing from the Lord? Study the word, apply it, live it out. God will bless you in doing these hard things. But to the one who does not, right, does not have, what even what he has will be taken away, right? There is a time and point when all of this will be taken away, and we will come face to face with Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure that what we have been given, we are using, okay, and using for the glory of God. So this is the truth, right? We have the truth of Jesus Christ, and we know that, again, we sit on this sometimes more than we ought, and I'm guilty of that as well. But there's Christians around the world who would die even for a page of Scripture to have in order that they could see and read it in their own language. Yet too often we sit on it. So we need to be encouraged, and we will be in a moment, I think, of how we are to live and apply the word of truth in our lives. But let's notice here the parables, right? Living out the truth is living out the life. And some of you might have caught on, this is a play on who Jesus is when in John 14:6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So these are just aspects of Jesus' life. So he is the truth, but he is also the life. And he says here in verses 26 and following, in the parable of the seed and also of the mustard seed. So again, that agricultural understanding, right? He's in a very agricultural setting, so he is using these illustrations that people could relate to, because they all have to, again, sow their seeds, right? If they want to eat, what do they got to do? They don't go to Kroger, do they? No, they don't. They don't even go to Walmart. They don't. They have to go and grow their own food, okay? So he's relating that to them, and he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself the first blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Again, a story, right? Illustrating what the kingdom of God is like. And if the kingdom of God is ruled by a king, we know that to be Jesus. Jesus here, as our good and righteous king, is telling us how the word of God goes out. And notice how this happens. It's scattered, right? What is our opportunity now that we have Jesus Christ dwelling within us? What is our opportunity? To go and spread the seed, right? Not to just sit on it, but to go and share, right? That's the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we are called to do. So we're going out scattering the seed. But notice here in verse 27, it's not up to the guy that's sowing the seed, is it? He sleeps, it rises night and day, right? Who is this that is doing the growing and the work, right? It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ himself, the Holy Spirit also involved with this, that is growing and maturing the believer, okay? So we can't even force conversion on other people, can we? Can you twist somebody's arm and say, hey, I really need you to be a Christian right now? No, and Christians have done that throughout history, and it's not gone very well, right? No, we don't do it. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here, is we scatter the seed, but it is up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to God to gain the maturity right within the hearts of the believer. So the seed is thrown out, but notice how the maturity happens. The maturity happens over time. But Americans, we want what? It's going to happen right now, right? I'm going to go through the drive-thru and get what I want, right? We have that some people call it microwave Christianity, where we want it just like right now. But notice how, if you're familiar with this, planting a seed and then coming to fruition takes a long time, doesn't it? Especially for some plants, okay? And that's true with people too, isn't it? Yeah, some people have some really hard soil that the Lord needs to plow up. But notice here, if the word is going out, what is God faithful to do? To grow the seed, to grow in maturity. The word of God does not return back to him void. And we need to know that. That God is growing in us the maturity that we need, in order that when we get to that day of harvest, which, when will harvest be for us? We don't really know, right? We don't know when God's time, you know, when God says our time is up here on earth, right? We don't know when that's going to happen. It could be young, it could be old. We don't know. But we know that God, at the right time, will take us home. And that's what we need to have confidence in, right? In God's kingdom, nobody dies too early, okay? I want us to know that. No one dies too early. God has a specific plan. And yes, sometimes it is hard. Yes, sometimes we're taken away from people that we love too early. But know that the Lord has a plan in all of these things. And His timing is perfect for us all. But we know that when we are not here, right, absent from the body is present with the Lord, don't we? We have comfort in that. So know that God is growing the seed. It's not anything that we can conjure up. It's God growing the Word of God inside of us, a maturity that we long for. But notice also here in the parable of the mustard seed. Now this is something I'm sure if you've grown up around church or you've heard this as a Bible story before, this is a very common illustration. And Jesus here is not going into like scientific detail on the mustard seed, because I've heard some people say that, well, it's not the smallest grain or whatever. But in this day and age, when you were planting a seed, this was the smallest seed that you could plant in your garden, okay? So it's a very tiny, small seed. And we do know what happens to this, right? Again, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, which sown in the ground is the smallest of all seeds. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. And I think this is talking about Jesus. I really do. Right? What did the Israelites believe, or what did the Jews believe at this time that the Messiah was going to do? He was going to come in and breed this big military, political leader in order to change the way that they lived under this Roman occupation. But what does Jesus come in as? This humble little guy born in a manger, right? In the backwater of nowhere. And here he grows up and he becomes this teacher, a carpenter that becomes a teacher, and one who is doing miraculous things and saying kind of polarizing things, isn't he? He polarizes people when he talks. So he's completely opposite of what we see here, but what happens at his death, right? We see this explosion, right? The Holy Spirit comes on the disciples the apostles at Pentecost, right, in Acts chapter 2, and what do? They go and they live their lives for Jesus Christ, most of them dying as martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we see here how something as small as Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem goes into this massive global expansion of Christianity. And in fact, that's why we're here today, isn't it? Because we've seen faith grow and faith become clear for so many millions of people around the world. But this also could be us too, couldn't it? The seed of faith is sown in our hearts. And this is not about quantity, I don't think. This is not about, oh, I just need to get more faith. This is, I'm seeing my faith more clearly. So we see our faith more clearly when we understand Jesus all the more and we understand His Word all the more. And that which is small in us, and we could have a very small piece of faith in our eyes as well, a very unclear piece of faith in our lives as well. But God develops that and He matures that into something great, right? Think about the disciples. Those guys didn't really get it at all, did they, when Jesus was talking to them? We look at the end of this verse. He said He spoke in parables, but privately, what is He doing? He's explaining it to the disciples, right? They have sometimes a hard head and sometimes don't understand what Jesus is saying. Not like any of us, right? No, not at all. But Jesus is using these men again to transform the world. Something that started to be very unclear, right? Becomes clear. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, he leads them into all truth, as John tells us. So they see the truth of Jesus Christ. So that's just an encouragement to us, I think. If you're very weak in your faith, if you're very unclear in your faith, if you're very immature in your faith, we're granted some hope here, right? That the Word of God is going to develop us into maturity, and that also He's going to develop us into a large reaching person for the kingdom of God. And that's encouraging, because sometimes we feel like we can't do anything for God. But the Lord is telling us here that, yes, we can, that God is using us in ways that we might not even ever know, which I think is very encouraging. Especially since God uses ordinary, regular people, doesn't He? He doesn't use any special superstars. Well, He might every once in a while, but for the most part, He uses just us as regular people. And I think that's really encouraging to us. So let's go and apply this now to our lives. And I think, again, there's so much you can take away from this. And I encourage you to go back and look at this passage on your own and pull away some things that the Holy Spirit might be saying to you as well. But again, let's go back and see how the truth changes our heart. The truth changes our heart. So if the Holy Spirit has changed us, right? What does Jesus do? He saves us in salvation, right? The repentance and the faith in Him for salvation alone completely changes us. So that we're not hiding this truth of who we are in Jesus, right? We're not hiding it. We're not staying in our homes huddled and hoping people won't see us as Christians. This is a boldness, isn't it? This is a boldness to go and to share our faith, to be on fire for Christ, because God is going to expose the darkness in our lives, and we want Him to expose the darkness in other people's lives too. So He emboldens us, right? He emboldens us to go and to share our faith, to share the truth, right? We don't need to be apologetic. Well, we say apologetics, but we don't need to go out there and be ashamed of things that we believe in, do we? Right, we don't. We need to trust the Word of God to go out. And who is He going to use? He's going to use us. But what does that require of us? We have to know the Word of God, don't we? Because you come in contact with a Jehovah's Witness. You know who they love to knock on? You know what doors they love to knock on most? Southern Baptist, right? Because we don't know anything about the Bible. That's an indictment on us, isn't it? But it's true. They do. They love it. Same with Mormons. And honestly, most people know what they believe better than we do. And that's scary. But we as Christians need to be encouraged now to take up the faith that we have adhered to, right? If Jesus is truly the center of our lives, start to apply these things in our heart. So we grow in truth as we read the Bible. Well, we grow in the knowledge of God, don't we? We grow in the knowledge of God. So if we're taking time, notice what the second part of this says in verse 24 and 25. We pay attention to what we're hearing, okay? Paying attention, which is hard sometimes. I know in sermons, I've sat and listened to sermons too. Sometimes it's hard to pay attention. I'm trying to keep your attention. Hopefully you're not bored. But we're to pay attention to what God has to say for us. And most of all, this is saying when we're studying the Word of God, right? We're studying the Word of God on our own every single day. We're paying attention to what God has to say for us. And again, God says He's going to bless us from that. But what does this take on our end? This takes discipline, doesn't it? Is it hard to sit down and make time every day to study the Word? It is, honestly. And even spend time in prayer. These things are hard to do because we naturally gravitate towards things that pull our attention away from God's truth. But what does God say? It's going to be added unto you if you take time. Discipline your time. Discipline the make time for the Word of God, the truth to implant into your heart. What does this take? This takes reading the Bible, studying the Bible, maybe getting some helps to study the Bible, maybe reading a Bible that you can understand, okay? Because some Bibles aren't in our modern vocabulary, okay? So maybe it's getting a new Bible. Maybe it's sitting down with someone else and reading the Bible with them. And maybe you are mature in your faith, but what is this asking us to do? To go and not keep that to ourselves, but go and to share it with someone else. So we do that by coming to Bible studies on Sunday mornings. We come to our neighbors, we go to our friends, our family members, and say, hey, let's read this passage of Scripture together and then talk about it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But that's things that we can do in order that the Lord might be glorified in our lives, because we know that all of this is coming to an end one day, isn't it? And we will have to stand before our Creator and give an account for all of the good things that He has blessed us with. And then He's going to ask, well, what did you do with it? And if we sat there and said, well, I didn't do a whole lot. That's an indictment on us, isn't it? Especially when God gives us this warning, right? That we should go and share the truth that we have in His Word. So we have to know the truth of the Word, and we also have to be disciplined to study the truth of the Word. So I encourage you to do that. Even this next week, set aside some time in your schedule that says, in this time during my day, and some of you guys, all of you might be doing this, I don't know, hopefully you are, set aside some time in your days for specific Bible study and reading. I guarantee you, you will be blessed from it. The Lord says that right here. You will be blessed from that time in the Word. And your life will be changed by that, right? Your life will be changed. As we see the kingdom of God here explained by Jesus, we know that there's a life in the Word, right? The Word goes out. So we should be encouraged that if we're sharing our faith with someone, or we're inviting them to come and hear the preached word, or we're inviting them to our Bible studies or our small groups or just reading the Bible with us, we know that what is God doing? He's working, right? He's plowing up that hard heart. We know that the seed is scattered, as he says here in the parable of the seed. But who is growing the seed? Is it you? Is it your good words? Is it your perfect knowledge of every single thing in the Bible, which no one has, Right? It's not any of those things. Who's doing the work here? God. God is doing the work. The only reason that you came to faith was God doing the work in your heart. Remember that? And we have to have that same understanding when we're sharing our faith with other people or encouraging those who might have been walked away from the faith for a while. We need to be encouraged that God can use the Word of God to change their hearts as well. So this is not just by our good actions, is it? Is that what this passage is saying? No. This is saying the Word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So we must get them in front of the Word of God, which is something that we can do, right? Can we get people in front of the Word of God? Yes. Yes, we can. Yes, I will answer that for you because you're like, oh, I'm not really sure. Yes, you can. One way, inviting people to church. Really simple. Really simple. Say, hey, come to church with me. I'll pick you up. I'll buy you breakfast. You know, there's incentives by there too. But getting them to the Word of God, right? Spending time with people who might not know the Lord, okay? And filling your conversations with the truth of God's Word, right? You're not beating them over the head with a Bible, but you're simply sharing what God has done in your life through the Word of God, right? And we know when this goes out that He's going to do the work because He is faithful and true to His Word and His promises. So that's encouraging, isn't it? That we know that God can use His Word to save anybody. I mean, look around in here. He saved anybody, didn't He? Yeah, He did. He saved a lot of anybody's in here, okay? So we know that He can continue to do that as He is in the business of doing. And I was on Instagram this last week. Everybody know what that is? Okay, some of you do. Okay, anyway, social media type thing. And one of our IMB missionaries, who is a college kid in somewhere in Asia, they don't disclose the location for the safety of the missionaries and those working as Christians in these countries where it's very dangerous. And I was struck by reading this, just Instagram post, just a picture, wasn't any faces or anything like that. But this is what they said. Again, this is a college student working in an overseas country that's very dangerous to be a Christian. It says this, "One day while giving away copies of the Word to God, one student saw God work to get His Word to someone who needed it. The student shares this, "A girl turned around and reached for the Gospels that she had passed, but her friend pulled her arm back and they walked away. I prayed immediately for God to bring her back, and then 30 minutes later I turned around and there she was. We spoke and she took a Bible. And later, in later days on the public transportation, I saw her again and she promised to begin reading God's Word. Pray that this girl would hold true to her promise and read God's Word. Pray that her heart would be opened and that she would be saved." So we have encouragement, right? That there are people out there who are putting their lives on the line. I mean, this is, being that they couldn't display this location, this is a very closed country, but they were there handing out the Bible, right? Handing out portions of the Word of God, the Gospels, as it says here, so that these people might know the truth. But how much more can we do in this free country, right, where we have no restrictions, basically no restrictions, on sharing our faith? We can get the Word of God out there. If people are faithful to do this, so too can we be faithful to get the Word out there, because He truly does change our lives. And we know the kingdom of God is growing all around the world, right? We know that people are coming to faith all around the world. So why can't God do this here again? Because faith is like a mustard seed. He uses people like you and like me, right? And our faith might start very small, might be very unclear, might sure really not very mature in our faith at all. But God promises to grow that, doesn't He? He does, into something that is large and that is fruitful, just like the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. So where is God using you to get the Word out there? I mean, I really want you to think about that. I have to say, ask that for my own self as well. Where is God using you? It might be a spouse that doesn't believe. It might be a kid that doesn't believe. It might be a coworker. It might be somebody that's not really involved in a church. They might claim faith in Jesus Christ. But if you claim faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to have some desire for the Word of God. That's just the truth. So you're going to have some desire for that. But where can you get involved with someone who does not know the Lord? Again, you're just being obedient, right? It's not up to you to save anybody. You're just seeking areas to be obedient in order that that God might get the glory, okay? And it's not about filling this church full of people, right? It's about the kingdom of God. It's about being obedient to what God has called us to do as believers. So just know that he can use you, right? Look where he's brought you over the years. Just think about where he's brought you and think about how he can do that same thing for someone else out there in our community or even in your own families. Just know that God is faithful and his word does not return back to him void. So where can you be involved? Where can you be involved? There's plenty of opportunities here. We've got opportunities on Thursday night. You can go to the college. There's a lot of lost kids at the college, I'll tell you that. There's a lot of lost kids there. Just find different avenues that you can get involved with. We've got a whole bunch of stuff right here that you can step up and get involved with, meet people who are not a part of a family of faith or even maybe even a believer. So I encourage you, find areas that you can get involved with. Come and mature in your knowledge of Jesus through a Bible study on Sunday morning. I mean, these are just little steps that we can all take in order that we might grow in faithfulness and obedience to Christ, in order that we might be equipped to go out into this community that we live in for the glory of God. I think that's an encouraging word for us this morning, and I know that God is going to use this, right? His word does not fall on deaf ears and deaf hearts, but I know he can use this morning to encourage us to go out and be faithful, to be faithful members of his kingdom as he has called us to be a part of. So I encourage you with that this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart to be faithful, to study the word of God, and then see as your life has changed to go out and to share this truth with other people who do not know the Lord, to get them in contact with the word of God. Let's thank God for this time through prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for teaching us through your word, Lord, that your word is truth and we should not hide it, Father. That we know, Lord, that it is not up to us to save anyone, Father, but you have called us to be obedient. If we've truly been changed by Jesus Christ, if we have repented of our sins and turned to you by faith and believe, Father, that you are supposed to be the center of our lives, God, I pray that we would take that seriously this morning. If we are called to be believers, Lord, we need to center our lives upon you, not on sports teams, not on what we look like or how much money we make or what car we drive, not on how many grandkids we have or if we have kids at all, or in our spouses, Father. We should be centered upon you. And everything else, Father, is idolatry. And Father, I pray that we would repent of that this morning, God, if we are struggling with that. Lord, let us be obedient. Let us be faithful this morning, Father, not to have any other idols in our lives, not anything else receiving the glory except for you. God, may we be faithful and obedient, God, to live out our faith as we read it and apply it to our lives and our study of the word. And Lord, that we would be lights in this community, God. This light that shines through us, may it be a light into this community. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word, and thank you for your encouragement and conviction on our hearts this morning. In your name I pray, amen.